Yeah, get rid of the.
Oh, gotta get rid of the.
Thank goodness for taping, right?
Yeah.
All right. And there you have it.
So first of all, Gretchen, why don't we start with Harmony Hill? Can you walk me through a little bit of the history of how this place, this fabulous place got started, and what exactly it does for people?
I had on this was out. I had to wait on the night, and I think it was
Awesome. That's amazing. Kim, I want to ask you about the very beginning. So rewind to last year. You just campaigned for basically a full year, and you just won. What made you go to the doctor at first? What about that? Did you think, oh man, like I'm feeling crummy? Is it my mom run down just because I had this sort of grueling campaign? Or what made you originally go to the doctor in the first place?
Something related to food. So I went through every hoop you could imagine. I cut out wheat, I cut out dairy,
You were eating just wheatgrass.
It was great, yeah. although I have to admit, one of the good things going on the internet.
Oh yeah.
And
Google's horrible.
I anyone that gets
In of all time?
60 years.
Wow.
Success rate.
So what there we did a video shoot one time for the Relay for Life, and actually it was still when Sam Reed was still Secretary of State, and I sat down and one of the questions I asked him, because he had been diagnosed with cancer in one of his kidneys and it had to be actually removed, and I asked him the same question, and I asked him, like, well, what did you feel like when the news first hit your ears, like? And I was surprised at his answer, because he's normally not really, you know, all that of an emotional guy. And he said flat out, he was like, yeah, there was this odd sense of doom. Oh my gosh, I have this thing. What was it like when you heard that might be something, like that you have a mass and that it is that way? Did a room go silent? How did you feel?
It's... So first I just went to the parent and
Gretchen, so this is kind of where I imagine where you guys come in. Someone like Kim is diagnosed and they're wondering, maybe they're lost a bit, their head is swirling with all these sort of things, and I imagine this is where Harmony Hill can come in and really help and be a part of that. How do you guys do that?
He said one of our first ever restricted gifts.
That's an interesting line on the restricted gift, matching towels. Sort of mix and mingle folks that are on different sort of different parts of the cancer. I mean, do you have folks who are going, who you feel like are going to survive or maybe have survived?
Healing. You know, it's not like curing, that's not what we do here.
two of them are clinically depressed and have no clues about that.
Yeah, I remember one of the things we talked about when we talked with the American Cancer Society was they started this camp that kids could go to.
Yeah.
And at first, they would just have the child who was actually diagnosed with cancer come. And then they started to slowly but surely invite the siblings.
Yes.
And then they realized when they would separate the two groups that the sibling of the kid who was going through cancer had all these other feelings associated with their sibling, right? The idea that they felt guilty that they weren't the ones who had it, that their sister had it, they wanted to take care of them. All these like different conflicting feelings that I imagine caregivers go through because all they really want is for you to be okay and they can't do anything about it. One of the things you hit on was something that I want to actually talk about, Wyman Rocks the Socks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most unique thing that I've ever seen that it was connected to cancer, and I never thought about it. Kim, can you talk about the idea behind it?
Mm-hmm.
And then did you really feel like it helped you get through a lot of stuff?
Yes. So I was diagnosed on March 10th. And started my treatment on April 10th. And in that month period of time, it's just a flurry of activity. You go to a whole bunch of appointments and tests and get prodded and poked and everything. And around you, of course, we made the public announcement, so people were becoming aware of it. And everyone reaches out to you and wants to help. And boy, in that early part, there's nothing to give anyone to do, because you're just kind of so purpose driven and everything. So when you begin radiation treatment, you go in for an appointment, and I can't remember what the terminology is, but they have to measure everything because it's such a precise activity. So you go into this room and I got four tattoos. That was kind of cool. So that they can align the machines up exactly the same way every treatment. They made a mold of my legs so that every time I got on the table, I was in the exact same position every time.
Wow.
So in this process, the lovely woman that was doing it and setting everything up for me, we're talking and joking and things. And that particular day, I'd worn a pair of my son's neon green footy socks. And so I found that as she was doing all the tests and everything, I kept looking at those and it made me smile, made me think of him. Mm-hmm. And so I had an idea.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what I need, is that if every time I had a treatment day, if someone would wear a pair of really outlandish socks,
right,
and put them on social media, I could look at it and then it would just, you know, keep me in that mm-hmm. positive, know that they were sending me positive energy or prayers, yeah, or whatever. I had no idea what that simple idea was going, right, to do. So I went back to the office and I was just thinking, you know, it would be a way to let people that weren't, you know, in the office every day, kind of that inner circle, if you will, to be participating. And so we just kind of put the call out, you know, just and all I wanted them to do is take a picture of the socks. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened was, one, I received hundreds of pairs of socks, yeah, both at the office and at my house, of people letting me know.
You have an endless supply of crazy socks.
I do. In fact, I'm giving Harmony Hill a couple bags today just to share that love, yeah, and all of those good wishes. And the socks were all over the map, a number of Wonder Woman socks with capes. Those were up there in my favorites.
Yeah.
And so then what I did is I planned to wear a different pair of socks every day to treatment. I had, like I said, 33 days of actual going in and getting treatment. And then I would post those on my Facebook page. And then I have very creative people around me. Obviously, I mean, you can tell from this podcast that that you are one of those, Philip. And someone came up with the hashtag Wyman Rocks the Socks. Mm-hmm. And so it took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
And what, and again, going back to this idea that I don't think I've ever really looked at my whole cancer journey as being a negative thing. It so much positive has come out of it. The sheer number of people that posted things and would send me, and then, of course, all the threads that would go with each post.
Yeah.
That got me through a lot of days where I was just laying in bed, couldn't get out of bed, but I could pull up my phone and mm-hmm. I could start just going through social media and read those good thoughts and prayers. And knowing the power of prayer mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. I think, one of the things I learned through this mm-hmm. journey. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, people have said to me when I was on campaign trail, oh, you know, I'm praying for you. And at first I was like, okay, that's weird. I never thought of politics and religion in, yeah, quite that way, yeah, kind of thing. But it, particularly with this, with all my treatment, the knowing that you had people thinking about you and sending, you know, not only sending those good thoughts, but basically asking for a higher power to mm-hmm. to keep you safe, yeah, and keep you in that place of peace and in that protected place, you know, the eye of the storm kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It made a difference. And right. there were so many days that it got me through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the hardest part of the treatment for you? Was it the physical stuff or was it more the getting through?
The physical stuff, they do a very good job in the beginning of telling you what to expect. So in my treatment, they said first 2 weeks, you probably won't notice much. Mm-hmm. Second 2 weeks will start getting harder. The last 2 weeks will suck. And I think they used a more professional term than suck.
Oh, yeah.
And then the 2 weeks following treatment will be the hardest.
Okay.
And so you mentally can prepare for that and anticipate. My worst fears going into this before I knew what to expect. I didn't want to throw up,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to, actually I hadn't really thought about my hair. Everyone else had thought about my hair. and my husband said, you know, he would shave his head and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. I probably lose my hair. Well, oddly, my treatment, because of the way it was, I didn't lose my hair. Mm-hmm. It did get thinner and it came out in handfuls, but, I was able to keep my hair, which was a blessing. And I didn't actually throw up. So that was nice. A lot of other things I won't share with you that I did get to go through that weren't pleasant, but, you know, that's what ironically, yeah, in life, you know, the things you fear aren't even the things that are the hardest or, yeah, the whatever. For me, the single hardest thing, and even now, it's frustrating. My will wasn't strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
By that, what I mean is every aspect of my life up until this, I could always power through it no matter,
right,
what.
Right.
I my will was stronger than whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I could emotionally and mentally tough it out. Or physically tough it out, you know, and cancer doesn't work that way. Mm. You know, I think the first thing, just accepting that I needed people to help me.
Yeah.
And asking for that help was hard at first. And then I realized and accepted, no, that's powerful.
Yeah.
And people want to give them that ability to right. try to help you heal. The second one was allowing myself to heal mm-hmm. and taking the time to do what I needed to right. do. And then that meant, you know, I was in bed, oh my gosh, 16 to 20 hours a day mm-hmm. for a good 6 weeks.
Right. Right.
I've had surgeries. I've had, mm-hmm. you know, all sorts of things. I have never been down that hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can remember towards the end, just laying in bed and not even having the strength to get up to go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. not even be able to go up and get a drink of water, and just, you know, sobbing. And my husband came in, he's like, what's, you know, and he's afraid I'm in pain or something wrong. It's just, I'm failing. Mm-hmm. I'm failing. And he's like, are you kidding me? And my son came in and I said, yeah, you know, I just, you know, I can't, I have nothing left. Mm-hmm. Physically, you know, emotionally, I have nothing left. And he just said, no, this is what the fight looks like. Because mm-hmm. wow. because my husband approached it as a caregiver. He approached it as it's like a fight. It's like a mm-hmm. MMA fight. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got three rounds mm-hmm. and it's going to be tough and you're going to mm-hmm. get beat up. And the point is to be standing at the end. And so his analogy was, you know, this is what the fight looks like. And yeah. it's not pretty and it's hard and you're right where you should be. Yeah. And that also helped me kind of get through wow. that low point. But yeah. But my will not being strong enough, yeah. I think, was the hardest.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, frustrating.
Well, so what about you guys when you're dealing with folks who come here? What are some of the what do you notice are some of the toughest things that people have to get over? Like two or three things that you see a lot when you mix and mingle with the groups or with people who come.
Well, I think Kim, I think you just what you just talked about is very. Along with the tears, mm-hmm. it's mm-hmm. those two things. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and of course, my cancer is a colorectal cancer. And so the fourth grader in me was kind of excited about that because the potty humor that we got through, oh boy, yeah, you know, and yeah. it was, you know, mm-hmm. I might have said it was a pain in the ass many, many times, but, you know, but you have to, yeah. you have to focus yeah. on the joy mm-hmm. in your life. You have to focus on the happiness and that's yeah. what gets you through it.
Yeah.
Retreats, you know, along with the cancer diagnosis, often comes a lot of financial hardship.
place, and we relied on donations from a lot of generous donors to cover the cost of these programs. And people don't have to worry about that enough. And people get to the end of the retreat and they expect us to ask them to write a check, and we don't, and they're just blown away by that fact. And that's another gift that we're able to give them. And now what we see now is that as people are able, they want to give back, or have asked their friends to give back. And so we saw, along with that decision, our donations just went up and up. And we've been able to do it. It's been challenging, of course, for the last 13 years, but offer these at no charge and to grow the program at the same time.
Awesome. All right, so I only have one final question. I had two, but Eric did my job for me with about what donations do for you guys. The final question I have is for everybody, really, and that is the concept of moving forward. So after, we'll start with you, Kim. How is life different after, not the diagnosis, mm-hmm. but after the all clear, like... how is life different from when you did this before?
Let's see. Things are not, things that were, that people think are stressful aren't. I think that it gives you that really good perspective of what's important in life mm-hmm. and what you should be worrying about and what you spend your time and energy on. And you can, you know, everything's a choice. You can choose to focus on the negative or choose to focus on the positive. And John and I early on said, we're only focusing on positive through the whole journey. And that is kind of now our mantra forward too. And I think it's just really, you know, you've got the little stupid thing that happens at work and everybody gets all worked up. You know what? Right. None of that's real.
Yeah.
And don't spend the emotional energy and waste it on things that aren't important, you know, and those things in life that are negative, that suck mm-hmm. your life's energy and you don't even realize it, get them out of there. Yeah. Whatever it takes. Yeah. Because life literally is too short.
Yeah.
And I think, and you know, and that it's a gift and you gotta take advantage of it every day and try to, you know, so now I would give back that positive energy to, you know, to the universe, if you will.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we're trying to move forward and just appreciating, you know, it's about appreciating everything.
Yeah.
And the blessings you have in your life. And that's I think my takeaway away from all of it.
Wow, nice.
That perspective is, I think, that we have heard from some of the other kind of folks that come through the cancer retreats is really the gift of cancer. It's a hard phrase to say almost, but that's what a lot of people know how they frame it up. And, you know, none of us are getting out of this alive. We're all mortal. So, but cancer makes you, I think, look at that. It's a wake up call. And I've heard on how many people I've heard say it. My life was just not like I wasn't happy, and cancer allowed me to see that,
right?
In a completely different way. So that's part of the healing. I think that it can be a real gift.
That's very good. I think we're talking about the preciousness of every day, and really realizing that life is, we don't know how long we have and how to make the best of it for whatever time. I talk about Harmony Hill in our program. I usually talk about grace, grit, and gratitude, and now we're adding gusto.
Treasure the preciousness of every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. That was about the coolest interview I've ever done for this particular podcast.
Can I say one more?
Yeah,
this
sure.
This is a shameless pitch, but I have to say it. Favorite things is coming here to Harmony Hill from today's beginning of May for a workshop.
actually be interested in that. It'll be a four-fee thing. But, and then we have all of our cancer programs for the year there as well.
So people are interested, please do check that out.
There you go. Awesome. Well, thank you, Gretchen, Eric, and Kim for sitting down and talking about this really unbelievable and unique journey that people go on. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.